We've got to stick together. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Right back to it, John Carlson, Talk Radio 570. How you doing this morning? It's going to be a gorgeous Friday. Great entree into the weekend. All right. Lisa Myers from NBC just appeared a couple of minutes ago on the only show on MSNBC worth watching, because it's the only one with any pretense of balance, which is the Morning Joe show with former Republican Congressman Joe Scarborough and liberal analyst Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of Jimmy Carter's former National Security Advisor.
I think the Democrats now are starting to worry about it. I got calls from a number of Democrats yesterday trying to undermine Greg Hicks' testimony, say he wasn't demoted, et cetera. Right. So I think they feel that some damage was done by those three witnesses on Wednesday.
Okay, I accidentally stepped on the first few seconds of those words from Lisa Myers of NBC. She was talking to Joe and Mika about the results of the Wednesday hearing on Benghazi. Again, she says, after the fact, Democrats not so sanguine as they were in front of the cameras.
I think the Democrats now are starting to worry about it. I got calls from a number of Democrats yesterday trying to undermine Greg Hicks' testimony, say he wasn't demoted, et cetera. Right. So I think they feel that some damage was done by those three witnesses on Wednesday.
Some damage was done. And I said, you know, it was not a bombshell. It was, as Charles Krauthammer has been saying, it's kind of a drip, 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 kind of one small revelation after another. And the most damaging thing that Gregory Hicks said was he revealed that Hillary Clinton's attorney, chief counsel, and her chief of staff, her number two, Cheryl Mills. Yes, the same Cheryl Mills who was part of the Bill Clinton anti-impeachment legal defense team, that she called Mr. Hicks very upset that he was cooperating with a congressional investigation, a congressional inquiry into what happened at Benghazi. And that when he raised questions about the inaccuracy of calling the Benghazi terror attack a demonstration that ran amok and was hijacked by extremists, he was demoted. And again, this is a man, this is not a Republican or Democrat, it's a career diplomat. He was the number two man in Libya, became the number one man in the hours after Chris Stevens was slain in the line of duty. And he was just appalled at how the truth had been turned upside down. And when he kept asking about it, he says he was demoted. So now you have Democrats calling Lisa Myers saying, I really wasn't demoted. Well, he certainly believed he was. And then, of course, you have the dramatic announcement today from Jonathan Carl of ABC News that those talking points that the White House said, yes, they were erroneous, and yes, we admit what Susan Rice said on all the Sunday talk shows was incorrect, but she was dealing with the best information we had at the time, and this was what the intelligence community was telling us. We were just feeding to you what they fed to us. Jonathan Carl revealed today that those talking points were revised. The CIA talking points were revised 12 times before they were finally recited by Susan Rice and others defending or claiming that the attack was based on a demonstration. And of course, Hillary Clinton's claim, what difference does it make? The response to that in hindsight was, what do you mean what difference does it make? It makes a huge difference if it was an Al-Qaeda terror attack. versus just a demonstration that got out of control and a few hardliners took advantage of the vulnerabilities of the embassy to attack it. This was an attack on the anniversary of 9/11. And those talking points were rewritten to convey a fiction. They were deliberately written to convey a misleading impression. Basically, they were changed so that Americans would hear falsehoods rather than the truth about Benghazi. So the hearings on Wednesday, and especially Jonathan Carl's revelation today, means that the news media are going to be paying more attention to this. And thanks to Stephen Hayes, another story that broke this morning in the Weekly Standard, that's weeklystandard.com, that David Petraeus had expressed frustration at these newly revised and scrubbed talking points. He said that they'd been stripped of much of the content that the CIA had initially reported. So, you know, keep in mind that when the CIA changed the talking points at the direction of the Obama administration, Victoria Nuland, Hillary's spokesperson at the State Department, wrote back and said, no, not enough, quoting her in an email here. These changes don't resolve all of my issues or those of my building's leadership. Now, who could that be a reference to? The CIA ended up drafting the final version of the talking points, deleting all references to Al-Qaeda, all references to security warnings in Benghazi before the attack. Then Susan Rice, who was coached by someone, she was coached by someone at the White House on how to present the talking points. That name so far has been redacted from reports. But one of the things that the CIA said is that the terrorist assault on the embassy, or excuse me, on the consulate, appeared to have been inspired by protests at the U.S. embassy in Egypt. But when Susan Rice conveyed those talking points, she said that there was a demonstration and a protest in Benghazi, and that the demonstration was hijacked by hardliners who just happened to have, you know, artillery and rocket-propelled grenade launchers and automatic weapons and the like. That never appeared by the CIA, and it wasn't in the talking points.
Senator, you got to help me out here. The president of Libya says that this was something that had been in the works for 2 months, this attack. He blames it on Al-Qaeda. Susan Rice says that the State Department thinks it is some sort of a spontaneous event. What do you make of it?
Most people don't bring rocket-propelled grenades and heavy weapons to a demonstration. That was an act of terror. And for anyone to disagree with that fundamental fact, I think, is really ignoring the facts.
So somebody between the final version of these talking points and Susan Rice's appearance on these talk shows invented the story that that there had been a demonstration in Benghazi that got out of hand. CIA had never said that. The closest they came to saying anything remotely close to that is that they said the assault on the embassy may have been spontaneously inspired by the protests in Egypt. But this whole thing that, you know, it was a video that inspired, that provoked a demonstration that got out of hand. And interestingly, when the president and Susan Rice and Hillary Clinton were meeting with the families of the slain American diplomats and the two Navy SEALs from the Benghazi assault. All three of the people who spoke to Pat Smith, the mother of Sean Smith, mentioned the video. In other words, they were rehearsing this line, which turns out to be a lie, even with the families of the bereaved, possibly with the hope that the bereaved would repeat what they had been told. And who's going to disagree with the mom of a consulate staff? You talk about cynical politics. Again, Pat Smith, the mother of Sean Smith, who has been saying from day one, all I want to know is why wasn't there security? Why was this allowed to happen? Why did no one try and do something? That's all I want to know. And they said, well, what do you think happened, Pat? She says, I don't know. I want to know. He said, well, Jay Carney says that Benghazi was a long time ago. She says, I agree with him. So why don't we know? Anyway, for the UN ambassador and the Secretary of State and the president to all say, all bring up the video, which had nothing to do, as Gregory Hicks said, nothing to do with what happened in Benghazi. It was, quote, a complete non-issue, close quote. And yet here they are harping on it when it was never part of the CIA's talking points. To the phones we go. The toll-free line is 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Parker is calling from Vashon Island. Great place to hang out in any kind of weather.
Hey, John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
I listened to you on my commute, and normally I agree with the things that you say, but I'm going to have to... as a friend, as a, you know, somebody who voted for Romney, I'm going to have to advise you to step away from Benghazi, you and the Republicans. There's nothing further to be gained by hearings and probings, I don't think. And you're just going to look like you're trying to score political points. You're getting details, but the narrative is really not changing. I think everybody pretty much knows that Benghazi could have been handled better. I think the president would admit that. I mean, four people died, so... You're now getting into what who changed talking points. It almost seems trivial, you know, in comparison. And the other thing that that Obama was spinning the story for to save his election, or that his team was
increasingly it looks less like the Obama campaign wanted the talking points changed for the election than the State Department wanted the talking points changed to save Hillary. And you know, the talking points being changed is not trivial. It's actually huge because everyone admits, here's where everyone, Republican, Democrat, and in between, agrees that what the White House said about the Benghazi attack 4 or 5 days after the attack was wrong. They got it wrong. They have said, well, the reason we got it wrong is we were dealing with these talking points provided to us by the intelligence community. And the State Department and the White House had input, and all we changed was one word. We changed the word consulate to facility. And here comes Jonathan Carl from ABC today saying, wait a minute, they revised the talking points 12 times. They completely changed the reality of what those talking points represented. That's not trivial, Parker.
Well, it's interesting, but you're getting into the sort of the minutia, I think. You know, you work in radio and place where copy probably changes all the time, you know, to try to say something the best possible way. Don't you do that? You know what I mean?
But what you're saying is changing the best way to say something. They were changing what was to be said.
But it did finally come out, wouldn't you say?
In spite of, not because of, the State Department and the White House. It happened because very brave people who are not part of the Obama administration, career civil servants, stood forward at great peril to their career, I would add, and said, that's not what happened. Here's what happened. And when I tried to point out that the White House was saying something that was false, they took vengeance on me professionally, which happened to Gregory Hicks, the number two man in Libya, who received, what do you know, a unsatisfactory performance review after he complained.
Well, look, you've got my ear. I'll keep listening, but it's tantalizing in some kind of ways. But I don't get your hopes up for anything sticking on Hillary or Obama. It's just not going to happen. And it's a dangerous topic, I think, for Republicans. It's going to be very easy to characterize them as grandstanding. They have to be very careful about that.
I think they do have to be very careful. What you have to do here right now at this point is detective work. Just follow the evidence that is now becoming, that is now beginning to unfurl.
You don't want to sound like some conspiracy theory nut job when you're doing it. You know what I mean? And there were some of the Republicans, some of the talking points that I'm hearing from like you and other shows I listen to, and you're getting real close. You're getting real close to that caricature of like, you know, the same sort of group of people who were into the birther thing. Oh, now there's think there's this big cover up over Benghazi.
What do you think that I have said about Benghazi today? And everything I've said, I've cited sources, good ones, credible ones.
Oh, there's always going to be sources.
What have I said that strikes you as being extreme or conspiratorial?
Well, just that it's an undue focus on sort of a minor point.
Well, I think I've demonstrated, and Jonathan Carl certainly demonstrated, that a lie from the White House that we got it wrong, but we got it wrong because we were dealing with faulty intelligence from the CIA, and now we know that the CIA gave them accurate intelligence, and the White House changed it. That's not conspiratorial. That happened.
Okay,
we
okay.
have all 12 versions, all 12 versions of the revised talking points.
Okay, I take your point that it's not conspiratorial. Okay, I'll concede that to you. But it's also, you know, there's nothing harder to argue than the obvious. But the basic points that you are shouting to the heavens to try to make, I think everybody already knows. You know, we know it was handled badly. Yeah, we know that Hillary was trying to massage the report so it wouldn't look so bad. I mean, who doesn't know that? I mean, honestly,
Parker, as late as this week. The White House line on the talking points was that the State Department and the White House didn't change anything more than one word. As of this morning, Parker, we now know the White House, the CIA's talking points were revised 12 times at the insistence of the State Department. The spokeswoman, Hillary's spokeswoman, Victoria Nuland, and the White House. That's a big deal. Because the revisions that were made falsified the account of what happened.
Do you think anything of value, put it this way, in terms of policy and that we could come up with so that this doesn't happen again, you know, to better protect our diplomats overseas?
Yes.
You think anything will anything useful come out of further pursuit of who changed talking points?
On one condition, that the people who revise these talking points to falsify the account of what happened are held accountable for it.
Well, we don't know
how high it goes yet. We know it goes at least as high as Hillary's State Department spokeswoman. So that's not we're not talking a low place on the hierarchy there, Parker. We're talking about a place rather high. Let's go. But I'm glad that Parker called and expressed reservations, because it gave me a chance to put things in context and explain why Jonathan Carl's revelation is such a big deal this morning. Let's go to Jay in Maple Valley. Nice to hear you on the John Carlson Show this morning.
Good morning, John.
How you doing? Go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure you understand that the majority is not going to have a bad opinion off the bat. Like this drone that was just talking to you, clearly to them, a few people that die is not a big deal. If you look at the history of these type of people that are in our government today. And I just want to make sure that folks understand the reason that those generals were let go just after Benghazi has a lot to do with this. And I'm sure it'll come back.
Yeah, I don't know, who all was involved. I'll tell you this much. Here's the next question for both, you know, Parker from Vashon Island and everyone else out there, regardless of where you stand on this issue. Here's the next question that has to be answered. Somebody created the false narrative that there was a demonstration outside the consulate in Benghazi that got out of hand and was hijacked by extremists. Okay, nobody ever said that that happened. The closest that it came to the closest that anyone came to saying that was the CIA's initial draft of the attack said that the terrorist assault on the consulate was, quote, spontaneously inspired by the protests at the embassy in Cairo, Egypt, close quote. They never said there was a protest or a demonstration at the consulate in Libya, in Benghazi. They just were suggesting, well, maybe the assault, the attack, was inspired by the protests in Egypt, and they said, let's just go attack the embassy. They never said there was a demonstration that got out of control. That was invented. And again, I would point out that this latest information that's coming out is, you know, not coming from a Republican investigation in the House of Representatives, and it's not coming from a traditionally conservative media source. It's coming from Jonathan Carl at ABC, who, like his predecessor, Jake Tapper, is known as a respected reporter who doesn't have a political axe to grind one way or the other. And if he does lean one way, he usually leans a little in the liberal direction. Let us go to Scott, calling from Kent. How are you, sir?
John, good morning. I'm going to make a quick comment about Parker, and then I got a quick question about the testimony yesterday. Maybe you can answer.
That's Parker from Vashon Island, who said, "What's the big deal? This all seems trivial." And I went, "Oh no."
First of all, I don't believe anybody from Vashon Island voted for Romney. So,
okay. Now, you might be right. We should look up and see if that might actually be true.
Well, here's the thing with what he was saying, John, is that all over the KookNet, Democrat Underground, Daily Kos, and all the forums, everybody's posting about how we should all call into local radio and pretend we're independent voters, how this subject is turning us off, and downplay it, keep the Republicans dispirited, and make them look like kooks. And you know what? Parker parroted that perfectly, so I don't believe he is an independent voter, and I believe he is part of the...
You know, Parker might be, but the reason I kept him on was to explain in detail to a skeptic why it was a big deal. And you might notice that he didn't really have a ready response when he said, well, this seems to be trivial. Who drafted the talking points?
Exactly.
I said, well, it was a very big deal to the White House because they said, don't blame us for the false information. This came from the CIA, and we were just conveying what they told us. And, you know, I'm sorry it was wrong, but that's what they told us. And, yes, we did have a chance to have input on the talking points, but all we changed was one word. And now, of course, we know that it wasn't one word. The, as Jonathan Carl points out this morning, the talking points were revised 12 times. And the person pushing for the changes was Victoria Nuland. One person who was pushing for the changes, Victoria Nuland, was Hillary's spokesperson.
Her basic mouthpiece. Now, John, the question I have about the testimony yesterday, the other day, was...
On Wednesday, yes.
Didn't Hicks say that the commander of the African forces of the American presence on the continent of Africa was the person who denied, who told them to stand down? Is that correct?
I believe that was his testimony. I don't remember his exact words. Gregory Hicks was the number two man in Libya. He became the number one man when Ambassador Stevens was slain.
So he would be in direct contact with the commanding officer of all American forces on the continent of Africa. Now, if you could ask Mr. Ralph Peters next week when you have him on, this is the same commander who was forced to resign a couple weeks after Benghazi for personal reasons?
He did resign, and I am unclear right now about the reasons. I thought there was a personal issue.
My understanding was that it had to do with a similar situation to David Petraeus' situation.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not sure exactly what it was.
I'm just finding it awfully convenient that came up right after Benghazi. And if you could ask Mr. Peters about that, because you have a military commander who is not who has to answer directly to the president or the Secretary of Defense. We need to find out who that man was told to stand down from.
Yes. No, I think you're asking good questions. And you know what? There is now going to be renewed attention, and this is the important part. There will now be renewed attention from other media sources. You will begin to see more mainstream elements of the media pay attention, since we are now dealing... There's one thing the mainstream media hate. They don't like being lied to because it makes them look bad. And you can bet that a lot of people in the mainstream media now feel that they were lied to. So that's one reason they'll be looking into it.
Thank God it's Friday!
Just the facts, man.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. What difference at this point does it make?
I have obtained 12 different versions of those talking points that shows that they were dramatically edited by the administration.
They deserve nothing more than to be fed to the sharks.
I got calls from a number of Democrats yesterday trying to undermine Greg Hicks' testimony, say he wasn't demoted.
They deserve nothing more than to be fed to the sharks.
I think they feel that some damage was done by those three witnesses on Wednesday.
Many of these changes were directed by Hillary Clinton's spokesperson at the State Department, Victoria Nuland. In one email, she said that information about CIA warnings, quote, could be abused by members of Congress to beat up the State Department for not paying attention to warnings. So why would we want to feed that?
They deserve nothing more than to be fed to the sharks.